Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy,
and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary, Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, and so I watch them so that you don't have to. And we have a long overdue, festive St. Patrick's Day themed movie. What could it be?
What could it be? It only took us 4 years to get the timing right. What could it be?
It's hard to plan ahead sometimes.
It really is. Especially there's some holidays that just kind of sneak up, you know?
Oh, they really do. But four years, you know, it's lucky, right? Isn't that like a lucky number? Four-leaf clover.
Just like a clover.
Exactly. We
did it
planned
on purpose.
It to be on the fourth year, yeah, for that reason.
We did, yeah. That was good of us.
So if you want to go straight to our recap of that mystery movie, What Could It Be? You can check the show notes for timestamps. Because first, I want to know, did anything scary happen to us this week?
Emily.
A real standoff here.
We're doing a real standoff. We're just staring at each other. Well, okay, I guess I was waiting for someone else to speak, so I wasn't sure if I was going to say this, but I am going to say this. And the scary thing is happening right now, which is I'm forcing myself to put something into existence, which is that Joel and I decided to record a little podcast.
Yay! Oh my God. Everyone's going to freak out.
Okay, don't freak out, you guys. I'm saying it now, which means it's going to come out. But I also feel the need to warn everyone that we are just going to put it on Patreon because it feels like so I like can't put it out into the general public. It feels too intimate, which is probably like more It's just two weirdos talking for like a little bit, and I don't know what we're going to want to do with it. So we're going to put it out into the world for a time. We'll see if we want to keep doing. We'll see if anybody's interested. We did record our first episode recently, and now I'm going to force us to put it out into the world, which is scary because what the fuck do we think we're doing? I don't know.
Wait, tell me, what's it about? The first app.
It's called A Couple, and it's a couple talking about a couple of things, having a couple of drinks.
Okay.
And that's the podcast. I'll go ahead and let you guys know that the first episode, we talk about ghosts and the movie Chappie.
Oh, Chappie. That is very on brand for Joel.
It is, yeah. Can you believe? Can you guess who brought it up? I don't know. It's fun. We're going to we'll have a couple guests on sometimes, meaning you guys, certainly. And it's just fun for us. And I've got a new job now, which gives me a little bit more time in my life. And it's been a thing that we've been thinking about doing for a while because we think that it would be fun. And maybe it will be. And maybe it won't be. And you know what? We can change our freaking minds. We can pull that. That's another thing. I want to be able to pull it all from existence if I have to. Just swipe it. swipe the internet clean of all of us talking. But anyway, I'll post about it when it comes out. But we're going to put out a little podcast of us being weird and not scary. But you know what? Fucking why the hell not?
I'm so wait. Excited.
I will be subscribing to this Patreon.
Me too.
Do you have you don't have a Patreon link yet, right?
I will have a Patreon link by the time this episode comes out. That's another thing I'm gonna force myself to do. We'll just you know what, guys, and the first one, we'll make the first one available to everyone, but again, it'll be on the Patreon just because I'm not putting it out into the wide world.
yeah we'll put the link in the show
we'll
notes.
Put the link in there, you know, whatever, if you feel like you gotta get more Joel in your life, which I can't blame you. There's never enough to go around.
I think some people are gonna fall into that category,
right? Yeah. Right, we'll see, you guys, we'll see. We'll bring you guys on soon to up the quality a bit, so stay tuned.
People love it Emily and Joel TSDW episode, so
I mean
I think they know what they're gonna be getting into.
I think they know. It's all of this nonsense and none of the movie recap. So if you listen to this podcast and you're thinking, well, I wish all the, unifying content and theme was removed, then this is the podcast for you. It'll be fun. We're going to have fun. That's what, but it's, you know, it's scary to start a new project. So
yeah. Yeah.
Scary.
Very
scary.
I can't wait. Yep. I'm excited.
I'm so excited.
Did anything scary happen to you guys this week?
Sammy, you go.
Henley just delaying. We're going to get to you eventually, Henley. That is how this works.
She's hoping we'll just forget. I have not really anything interesting to say, but one thing that did happen that was a little scary. I was getting gas, and the gas station I go to is cheap, so it's always crowded. So I pulled in, and there was a car, you know, gassing up in front of me, and then a car pulled in behind me to, like, wait in line, essentially, for one of us to leave. But I finished, and then I couldn't get out, because they were blocking me in.
That's annoying.
I walked up to the woman that was waiting behind me and I said, could you move so I can get out? And I didn't mean to sound like a bitch. I meant it in like a matter of fact way, like, you can get gas here now because I'm done, but I can't get out of your way until you get out of my way. But I like replayed the moment in my head for like 2 days. Does this happen to you guys as well?
Where you're just 100%.
Like, wow, I can't believe what a huge bitch I was to that lady for no reason. I didn't mean to be a bitch. And she was like smiling really big in the way that was like, okay, bitch. Oh, but it like haunted me. And I was like, why wouldn't I say like, hey, excuse me? But also like, I just said the facts, you know, like, I need you to move.
You weren't like, hey.
So I guess the scary thing is also how I am afraid of being straightforward and direct with a person.
Yeah, we're programmed to be like, God, why didn't I preface that with, hey, so sorry.
I'm so sorry to be such a huge inconvenience. Ugh.
Sorry. Ugh, I hate myself. Can you please scooch your little car so I can get my little, I'll take up the smallest space possible. I'll just scooch
Just move barely any move. Like, I can squeeze right out and you can get in. And you can get gas and it'll be your turn.
This is for you. This is for you. I want you to get gas. Take my car. There's gas in
it. Do you have enough money to fill up the tank? I could spot you if you need a 20.
It's so true.
I know what you mean. Sometimes things just come out in a way that you aren't expecting.
Also, we just don't have enough opportunity to speak to strangers. We just never talk to strangers. So anytime you do it, it's fraught, no matter what.
Especially when you have to ask something of them. It's like one thing to have to speak to a stranger. It's another thing to have a request for a stranger. That really does feel like a bridge too far.
It really shook me. And then the fact that it shook me continued to shake me. And I'm still shaking to this day.
Oh, she's shaking like a leaf. Oh, no. Yeah, those brains, man. Sometimes if there's not enough else to catch the thought, it just ping, 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 pings all around in there.
Exactly.
Maybe it'll stop pinging. You've released it onto the pod.
It can live in the pod.
It no longer lives in your brain. It's gone.
Or what if I'm spreading it to all of our listeners and it pings around and everybody else's
bing, 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 and then comes, it's like fucking truth or dare, and it's going to come right on back to you. You're going to think about it again.
Yeah, I just did the end of the movie where I did my broadcast to be like, this isn't my problem anymore. It's all of your problems. But that's just delaying the inevitable, much like Henley has been trying to do by not answering this question in the normal order.
Okay. So you're right. I usually go first, don't I? Or second. I have strep throat. I have been in so much pain the past 3 days. It hurts.
It's like hurting me that you are currently speaking. I mean, I know it's your choice and your prerogative and I want you to be here, but I'm like, every time you speak a word, I'm like, ow, ow, ow. How is she doing this? Ow,
if,
ow.
If it was yesterday or the day before, I wouldn't be doing the pod. But today I'm turning a corner and I feel better. And I'm still quite sick, but I've just had a debilitating case of strep throat, a very sore throat. Like, it hurts. I was just telling you guys before we came on the podcast, but I literally told Tim it's worse than childbirth. And I wish that I had painkillers. Like, I wish I had the strongest painkillers in the world. Anyway, it's on the mend. And weirdly, I'm the only one sick in my family, which is the best part. Hopefully no one else gets sick.
That is good.
Knock on wood. Hopefully I don't spread it.
They're supposed to never get sick again. I feel like we did say that last time they got sick, that was the last time.
Yeah, it's really
ever. So what the fuck?
What the fuck? But I need to tell you guys what I've been doing in my, you know, free time, which is watching season 45 of Survivor.
Ooh,
that is such a high season.
Can you believe that?
Is that the current
absolutely
season?
Wild.
So the current season is season 46, but this one just ended. You know, they do two seasons a year. So this
Holy
is the one
shit.
That aired like in the fall.
Okay.
Jeff Probst has been doing this for almost 25 years. He's been doing Survivor for 25 years.
That is wild.
Man, it is such a delightful experience. Every time,
watch it. People love Survivor.
I always forget. I go back to it and then I just, anytime you get into it, it's so entertaining and it's so delightful, especially something. What I did was I like put Baby May in her bouncer and I was like cleaning out the closet and I just had Survivor on in the background and I was like, great. Like, this is the best my life is going to get right now. Seriously, I'm having such a great time. And the other thing I do when I watch these shows, completely convince myself that I could do it, which no fucking way. But there's part of me that's like, all I would need to do is I would just need to train for like a year. I would get really good at puzzles. I would get really good at like shooting baskets. I would learn how to like husk a coconut.
These are not the first two skills I would think would be necessary for the show.
I
would
learn how to swim. I definitely have never watched it because this is not
shooting baskets.
Oh, the challenges puzzles. Are always the challenges. Constant puzzling, huge puzzles. constant shooting items into larger items, throwing items into other things.
Okay.
A lot of swimming, a lot of okay. carrying that heavy things.
Out. Also checks out.
A lot of like.
I think you could do it, hen. I think you'd be great at it.
I don't think so, you guys. I don't know. I don't think so. I think that if anything in my experience in the corporate world taught me, it's that I don't have the political savvy to navigate a survivor-like situation.
The scheming would be fun. Yeah.
The scheming would be really tough for me.
But all you've mentioned so far is baskets, swimming, and puzzles.
Well, if your team, if your tribe always wins the challenges, then you don't have to go to tribal council. So you would, you know, you can make it pretty far.
Oh, sure.
You can make it pretty far in the game.
Involved.
Yeah. And then the scheming really starts once the tribes merge, and then it's every man for himself. But I'd be thrilled to get that far.
So, you know, I've been watching Traitors, a lot of the Traitors. And
you better believe I'm watching that too. My God.
And I just haven't watched a lot of competition reality shows. And I really am enjoying it. And it's a smart thing because it brings people from the US version, at least brings people from all different reality shows. And so it makes me want to go and watch each of their shows as I, you know, get to know these people. And so there's a woman named Sandra that's won Survivor twice. And I'm like, I should go back and watch her seasons because she's great.
That is interesting because I bet they'd be great game players, you know?
That's the fascinating thing about this season of the US Traitors is they're half gamers and half like personality shows like Housewives or Below Deck where there's not a competition element. And the personality divide is so stark. Like everyone on Housewives takes things so personally, whereas all the gamers are like, it's a game. Like, what?
Wait, okay, so yeah. I listened to Las Culturistas, Bo and Yang and Matt Rogers talk about this dynamic, and they were saying that the Housewives is a game. They're like, it's not technically a game, but it's a game for who's on top. You want to be like center seat with Andy Cohen at the end.
Sure. Yeah.
And so even though
that's like a different kind of strategizing though than
like The Bachelor. I mean, you know, I listen to Game of Thrones, which is all about how The Bachelor is also a game.
Yeah, all reality TV is a game.
Yep.
Yeah. Love it. Anyway, that's been giving me life.
I'm so sorry you're sick again, hen. What the freaking heck?
This is just
is going on up there.
This is the world we live in, you guys.
Well, I'm going to check out Survivor, I think, because I'm all done with Traitors now. I've watched every iteration. I've watched US, UK, and Australia. So I'm all out. I'm all out of Traitors.
You could start with the Mike White season because it's
a very entertaining
season and you get to watch Mike White.
Yeah,
so
that
that's a good
fun.
Entrance point.
But shall we get into this week's movie?
Yes, please.
I'm ready. I'm waiting 4 years for this.
I've waited my whole life.
This week we are going to be talking about Leprechaun. Nobody guessed it.
You're shocked.
Everybody's shocked.
Everybody in their homes or cars going, oh!
Leprechaun came out in 1993. It was written and directed by Mark Jones, starring Warwick Davis, Ken Olant, Mark Holton, Robert High Gorman, and Jennifer Aniston.
Whoa.
I forgot that. Amazing.
And it is streaming on Peacock. Yes, this is Jennifer Aniston's her feature film debut just 1 year before Friends. Friends was 94.
I love seeing actors in things before the thing that's going to make them really famous. It's like it's that and when actors have colds are two of my favorite things to watch because it's like it feels like the cold thing is like peeking behind the curtain and this scratches a similar itch in my brain where I feel like I can read the future.
Yeah,
like I'm watching.
Yeah,
this
you don't
going
know what's
like,
about to happen.
You're about to be so famous, and I know you don't know, but like I know what's about to happen to you. Mm-hmm. Feels like a special thing to experience.
Yeah,
and anyone can do it at any time. All you have to do is find somebody famous, find somebody they were in before they were famous.
Yeah, yeah,
feels like a superhero.
So you guys have not seen Leprechaun, obviously.
No,
not seen it.
You kind of could guess the vibe.
What happens? Yeah.
I have an idea. I have a bit of an idea.
Yeah.
Is it a fun time? Are we having fun?
It's pretty fun, yeah.
You never know. Sometimes they surprise you, these guys.
We've been burned before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's some things you're not going to like for sure, but say overall, we're not going to feel bad when this is over.
How similar is it to The Luck of the Irish, Disney Channel original movie?
Great question.
You know, I need to rewatch that movie.
Wow, I really feel like I know it. I feel like it's like burned into my psyche.
I definitely have seen it many times, but I don't know. I've forgotten it. But I would guess that their
high school basketball player starts turning into a leprechaun. Oh my God. Classic tale.
I'd guess that they're extremely similar because they're based in facts of Irish culture and extremely representative and probably like, of the truth.
Wait, speaking of, have you guys seen the trailer for Irish Wish?
No, but that's a funny new title.
Lindsay Lohan Netflix movie?
That's right. It's new.
It hasn't come out yet. It comes out March 15th.
Shit. Well, we should have done that movie. But no, we need to do this. I bet it's not a horror movie.
It's literally rated G. So I'm sure that it's...
Okay, well, this is good to know. I mean, I will be... Obviously.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
I mean, she is the star of the film. The trailer is her. She's in every single scene. And I'm thrilled to see Lindsay Lohan acting again because I think she's a great actress.
Oh, it's like My Best Friend's Wedding meets Ireland.
Yeah, exactly. When the love of Maddie's life gets engaged to her best friend, she puts her feelings aside to be a bridesmaid at their wedding in Ireland.
Oh, yes, baby. Yes. Wow. I'm excited. Wow. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's not what we're talking about, but it will be what we're talking about after we've watched it.
Lindsay Lohan is back, you guys. She's back.
She's fucking back. Thank God.
This is very exciting. Wow. Thank you, Henley, for bringing this to our attention.
Thank you so much.
You know that it was like I got it as an ad before a YouTube video or something. I was like, YouTube, you know me so well.
I'm really so happy to see her back.
Me too.
Wow.
Okay, some stats for us about Leprechaun.
Yes, perfect.
It has a 31% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 17% on Metacritic.
Ooh, ouch.
And four
pretty low.
4.8 on IMDb.
Okay.
Budget was $1 million. It made $8.6 million.
Okay.
But then went on to make a lot more. I think an additional $15 million in VHS sales because Jennifer Aniston got so famous. And so a lot of people retroactively checked it out.
Hell yeah.
Ooh, oh, wow. My cats are being crazy. Sorry if you hear them.
I am now remembering that Jennifer Aniston's in this movie because you told me. But I definitely had forgotten that, and that's honestly really exciting. And she must have been really young.
Yeah.
25 or something?
Yeah.
I feel like she was like the exact age of her friend's character.
Yeah, I can't do the math exactly, but it's around 25.
Great. Was this your first time seeing this movie, Sammy?
It was not. I have seen this movie before.
Okay.
I watched it on St. Patrick's Day. I think I've seen a few of the Leprechaun movies. There are 8 of them total.
Holy shit.
There's Leprechaun 2, Leprechaun 3, Leprechaun 4, Leprechaun in Space.
No.
Leprechaun 5 is In the Hood. Leprechaun.
Jamel told us about that one.
I think he actually specifically mentioned number 6, which is Back to the Hood.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't know there was 2.
Mm-hmm. And In the Hood is In THE Hood. Back to the Hood is Back to THA Hood. Back to the Hood. Just feels important to point out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then there's Leprechaun Origins and Leprechaun Returns, which was Leprechaun Returns was just a couple years ago. And
I was going to say, I feel like that would have had to but not that long ago.
Yeah, and it seems like there might be another one in the works, but hard to...
How many of them Are Jennifer Aniston in just this
one? Just this one. They wanted her back in Leprechaun 2, and she said no.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Mm-hmm. I am very famous, and I'm making that good, good network TV money, so no thank you.
Yeah, so she, it, her character gets recast for number two. And I think Warwick Davis is in all of them except for one. So, but other than that, not a lot of repeat cast members. A lot of one and dones in the franchise. Jennifer Aniston, for a while, pretended this movie didn't exist. She would deny that she was in it.
That's really funny.
This is before the internet is pervasive and you can get away with that kind of shit.
You could sort of get away with it. Mm-hmm. Huh, what movie? No, I don't think I was in that one.
It's not ringing a bell. But in 2019, she said in an interview that she rewatched it with her then boyfriend, Justin Theroux, which I think is funny. Just imagining them two watching
that is funny.
Leprechaun together. For shits and giggles, she said.
And how'd she feel about it?
She admitted she kept walking in and out of the room.
Oh, Jennifer!
Getting embarrassed. This, I just liked the wording of this trivia. It really made me laugh. For years, critics hated the movie, and in recent years, that hasn't changed.
What a great little bit of trivia.
It continues. The Chicago Tribune wrote that it brought new meaning to the term bad. The director has reflected on this and felt there's an audience who gets it. He said, there was a fan base that understood what I was doing and never took me seriously. It was a fun little movie. I wasn't trying to make The Exorcist or Rosemary's Baby.
I mean, they made eight of them. Obviously, people are eating this shit up.
I hope to God he wasn't trying to make Rosemary's Baby. Right. It's called Leprechaun. It's a horror movie about a leprechaun.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's all the trivia I have. We will watch the trailer at the end. That'll be available on our Patreon if you want to check that out. But what do you say we get right into this recap?
Let's do it.
I say yay.
Yay. I was trying to think of any Irish phrase.
The flowers in the garden.
The flowers in the garden.
Too tarty.
Too tarty.
Too tarty. Let's get into it, shall we?
You know that scene in horror movies where someone's alone at home, cooking or whatever, watching TV, and a killer is outside watching them through their huge, open, enormous, completely clear windows that for some reason have no blinds or coverings on them whatsoever? Don't let that be you. You need privacy. You need 3-Day Blinds. They are the leading manufacturer of custom window treatments in the US, and right now they are running a buy one, get one 50% off deal. Just set up an appointment and you'll get a free, no obligation quote the same day. And if you're not very handy, that's not a problem, because the expert team at 3-Day Blinds handles all the heavy lifting. They design, measure, and install, so you can sit back, relax, and leave it to the pros. I feel like sometimes when you hear the word blinds, you might be thinking of broken, loud, dirty dorm room blinds, but I was just looking at 3-Day Blinds' Instagram, and I can assure you that is not what we are talking about here. These are good-looking blinds, shades, shutters, etc. They have thousands of options for any budget or style, no matter your unique need, whether it's motorization, to home automation, room darkening, or child safety. They're going to have something that's going to look gorgeous in your home, and it's going to keep those prying eyes away so you don't have to live in your very own horror movie. Right now, you can get 3-Day Blinds buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery. For a free, no charge, no obligation consultation, just head to 3dayblinds.com/tooscary. That's buy one, get one 50% off when you head to 3dayblinds.com/tooscary. One last time, that's the number 3, DAY, blinds.com Etsy.com/2scary.
Okay, you guys, I just learned a really wild fact that I need to share with you. I know I'm not usually a fact person, but did you know that Americans pay about 2 times as much for their wine as the rest of the world? Why? Because laws dating back to Prohibition ensure the right of wholesalers to make big margins. Okay, look, we got to be getting these wine deals that we deserve. And guess what? I have a solution for you, because this podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines, however often you'd like, for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Use our code TOOSCARY for the code and password at nakedwines.com to get their incredible deal of 6 bottles for just $39.99. I recently really loved a bottle that I got from Naked Wines of Chardonnay, and I'm not usually a big Chardonnay person, but I'm getting into it. You know, crisp, buttery Chardonnay is actually quite nice. And also the least acidic white wine, just FYI, if you're a little heartburn sufferer like me who refuses to give wine up, that might be a way to go. And I love just being able to try things that I wouldn't normally pick out for myself, because I get these incredible variety boxes of wonderful bottles at, again, a fraction of the price. And how does Naked Wines do it? Well, Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard to your door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middleman costs, winemakers can pass those savings on hundreds of top quality award-winning wines to you without skimping on quality. It's such a good deal to get Naked Wines. I mean, price, yes. Variety, knowing that you're getting wines directly from independent winemakers is just so, so wonderful. They've got a great quiz where you can give them the descriptors that you like in your wine so that each shipment is tailored to your tastes. So there really is no reason not to give it a try. Head to nakedwines.com/2scary and click enter voucher in the top right and put in 2scary for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/2scary and use the code and password 2scary and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, that's nakedwines.com/2scary, code and password 2scary for $100 off your first 6 bottles.
I have tried a lot of meal kits in my day because I don't like to cook. I need as much help as I can get when it comes to meal times. But a lot of the kits I've tried, you know, they leave a little something to be desired. They're not super great quality, or maybe there's not great variety, or they're feel just kind of unhealthy. So imagine my surprise when I found Marley Spoon and discovered it doesn't have to be that way. You can have it all. I'm so happy this podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. They created the best tasting meal kit money can buy, and with my code TOOSCARY, you can get up to 25 free meals. They have over 100 meals to choose from each week, so you will not be getting bored. Last night, I made a shrimp burrito bowl that was so good, and tonight I'm making a Shion-style cumin turkey burger with pickled veggies and 5-spice fries. Excuse me, am I a 5-star chef? You have any idea how boring all the stuff I usually make is? This is such a treat. And usually for something like this, I would pay probably $40 to have something delivered to me, and it would probably be gross and soggy by the time it got here anyways. So thank God for Marley Spoon. And you can customize many of the recipes. So whether you're looking for vegetarian, family friendly, low carb, they got you covered. They also have an online market of pantry essentials like snacks and ready to eat options. I'm telling you, you can have it all. I got a kit to make cookies in my first box. So experience the most personalized meal kit today with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/2scary and use code 2scary for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/2scary for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code 2scary so they know I sent you.
All right, you guys, I'm here again to talk to you about Skims, except this time, not about their underwear, this time about their t-shirts. Have you guys tried their t-shirts? Because I hadn't until recently, and holy shit, I have been on the quest to find the perfect t-shirt for my entire adult life. And little did I know, they were just hiding at skims.com. So I have their cotton jersey long sleeve t-shirt in kind of this like deep blue, gorgeous color. And it's a very form-fitting t-shirt that's extremely flattering. I've worn it over and over and over again since I got it. And it really holds up in the wash. You can just throw it in the washing machine, holds up, keeps its shape. The quality of the fabric is so good. I also have the boyfriend t-shirt. That one's so cozy, more relaxed. I just am obsessed with them. And now I want all of them. So I will slowly be amassing my collection of Skims t-shirts for the rest of my goddamn life. Anyway, so I really can't recommend them enough. Go to skims.com to shop them. And they're available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. Plus, you get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that Too Scary Didn't Watch sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select Too Scary Didn't Watch in the drop-down menu that follows.
So it starts immediately right with the leprechaun running down a stairs into his where he keeps his pot of gold. It's more of a sack of gold. And he's singing a little ditty. Try as they might. Who steals the gold won't live through the night. He's basically saying, nobody takes my gold. That's the rule.
Mm-hmm.
So then we cut to a man named Dan O'Grady coming home to South Dakota after visiting Ireland. He is Irish. And his wife is greeting him as he's returning from this trip. And he's basically, he's bought her something very expensive. And he's saying, like, we're going to go on this expensive trip or do all this expensive stuff. And his wife is saying, Dan O'Grady, tell me what's going on here. What's going on? We don't have money for that.
Oh, great. And here she is. She's ready to go.
He tells her that he found a leprechaun and he made him give him his gold. So they are rich, rich, rich now. He's got this sack of gold and his wife is rolling her eyes at him. I don't think he shows her the gold. I can't remember, but she doesn't really believe him. And he's like, I gotta go hide the gold, but I'll be right back. And he goes out into the lawn area, and I think he's planning to bury it. His wife goes inside to make a pot of tea for him. And as she's making the tea, we hear a child's voice coming from his suitcase, kind of singing. And she goes to investigate this child's voice and opens up the suitcase and out pops the leprechaun. We see his feet stomping out of the suitcase. He's wearing these good high-heeled leprechaun shoes. And he says, do you like me gold buckles on me shoes?
Oh, my God.
Then he pretty quickly saying, give me my gold back, basically. I need my gold.
First things first, do you like my shoes? Mm-hmm. Second thing, give me my gold back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That is very much his priorities throughout the movie, and that stays consistent.
Oh, okay, great.
He loves his shoes.
Yes, he does. The wife is terrified. He's a pretty nasty looking leprechaun. He's not a Lucky Charms looking guy. He's got kind of a goblin-y face. Mm. And he looks scary. So she's backing away from him as he's charging at her, asking for his gold back. Give me my gold. Give me my gold. And she bumps into the door to the basement, falls down the basement stairs, and snaps her neck and dies.
Oh, shit.
Jeez.
Okay.
A leprechaun is, you know, totally fine with this. He's like, oh, should have given me my gold. And then he says, is that tea? Do I smell some tea brewing? And he goes and helps himself to some tea. And then Dan comes back to the house and calls out for his wife. And the wife's voice responds, in here, Dan. I've got some tea for you. And it sounds weird. It's like a little ethereal. It sounds like disembodied, like it's not coming from one specific place. So he immediately is like, what is going on? And then his wife's voice says, where'd you put the gold, Dan? Where's the gold? And Leprechaun turns the corner holding a little tray of tea for Dan and asks him where the gold is. And he says, you know, where's my wife? What have you done with my wife? And he says, oh, the poor little lass. Should have told her to watch your step. Dan realizes that his wife has died, and he has a four-leaf clover in his pocket, and he grabs it and he shoves it in the leprechaun's face. Leprechaun cowers and says, no, no, please put it away, put it away.
Oh,
so
great.
We see this four-leaf clover has a bit of power over the leprechaun. And Dan grabs a gun and shoots the leprechaun.
Wow.
And so the leprechaun is unconscious. We're getting the impression that he's not necessarily killable in the normal ways. So Dan takes his body downstairs into the basement, this big wooden crate, puts him in the crate, nails 3 nails into the crate. Seems like not enough to me. But then he sets...
Also, like, Dan, what the fuck?
I know, this is fucked up.
Now you're just like putting a living being into a wooden crate? Like, for some gold that isn't even yours?
Really Dan, greedy.
I don't know about this.
This is a comment on capitalism. So he hammers those 3 nails in, and then he places the 4-leaf clover on top of the crate. Cut to black.
I mean, also, if I were him, I'd be holding on to that clover, but I guess okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't even secure the clover to the crate. He just, like, gently lies it on top. Although, okay, wait, I forgot. He does, after that, pour gasoline everywhere, like he's going to burn the place down, but then he has a stroke. And so he doesn't die, but that's the end of that scene. He doesn't burn the place down.
Okay.
So I guess he did have a bigger plan. And
sure.
It didn't work out that way. But now we see a title card says 10 years later.
Wow.
And we're at the same house. It's like a farmhouse in the middle of nowhere. There's not any other houses around. And it's looking worse for wear, pretty run down. It seems like it has been unoccupied for these 10 years. So
this leprechaun has been in that box for 10 years.
This leprechaun has been in the box for 10 years.
Oh, man.
And we see a red Jeep pulling up with a father and daughter inside, hot dad.
Ooh.
And Jennifer Aniston.
Hot daughter.
Hot daughter. Dad is JD. Jennifer Aniston is Tori. And she's immediately complaining. This place is disgusting. There's cobwebs. There's spiders. I can't stay here. She's like being very prissy and like, ew, 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 like kind of a Valley Girl vibe. And her dad is, you know, saying like, we got such a good deal on this place. We're going to clean it up. It's going to be great.
Do you feel like you're watching Rachel Green? Like, what is your feelings when you're seeing Jennifer Aniston act in this way?
Yeah, it does. It feels pretty similar to her vibe in
Friends.
The first season of Friends. Yeah. And she's saying, you know, I'm not staying here. I'm going to a hotel. And she whips out her huge mobile phone, trying to make a hotel reservation, saying, yes, I need a room with really tall ceilings, which really made me laugh. You're going to hear Bunk meowing. He's oh, yes. I don't know why the tall ceilings line made me laugh. I guess because it's small in the house and she's like needs more space vertically.
I need more vertical space.
And as she's making this phone call, she bumps into a cute guy who's been hired to paint the house. So she knocks over his bucket of paint thinner and then tries to pay him for it. She doesn't say sorry. She's just like, oh, here you go. And like hands him $20. And he says, all you got to do is say you're sorry. And this is Nathan. He is wearing a purple button-down shirt with the sleeves ripped off. So he's really showing his guns. Mm-hmm. And he's ripped. And Tori is immediately attracted to him. And her dad walks out of the house now and is saying, all right, like, we can go to a hotel if you want to go to a hotel. And she's like, no, what are you talking about? Like, I love it here. It's totally fine here.
Wait, I have a question. Sorry if you said this. Are they on vacation renting this house? Or are they moving into this house?
I think I wasn't sure, but in the Wikipedia, it says that they're fixing it up as a summer house. So I think it's going to maybe be an additional
place
for them. Because, yeah, they seem rich. But
right. And if you're moving into a house, it's crazy to be like, let's actually go stay in a hotel. It's like, no, this is your house now. Like, you have to move into it.
Yeah. You live here now.
Yeah.
You can't stay in a hotel forever.
Right.
Yeah. And they don't have like boxes of stuff with them.
Okay.
So,
got it.
Yeah. So I think they're just like remodeling it for a summer house. But she sees now that the guy they've hired to help do that is hot. So now she wants to stay there. And the guy has overheard her say the thing about the spiders, and he laughs at her and is like, it's funny how girls are always scared of spiders. And she gets really mad and she says, this is the 90s and women are treated as equals. Oh. And she's now determined to prove that she's not afraid of anything. And
including leprechauns that have been in a box for 10 years.
Yeah, we'll see. We see there are two other guys that work with Nathan with this painting company. Their names are Ozzy and Alex. They have their little work truck. The company name is Three Guys That Paint.
Perfect.
Liked that. Alex is a child. Seems like he's about 10 years old. Children shouldn't work, but he seems like, you know, the most business minded of them all. It's they're trying to make him this like precocious, like, sir. They ask if Tori's dad asks if they need help. He's like, sir, our permits only allow us to handle the paint equipment. Like, we don't have insurance for you to use it, so no thank you. And so he's very professional, this little 10-year-old kid, Alex. And Ozzy is the actor that's in Pee-wee Herman as Francis. That's kind of like the rich guy with that, he falls for his little bubblegum prank. Anyways, so Ozzy is, they're presenting him as like having a learning disability, I guess. It's a little, it's ableist, I'd say. And he's kind of
it's 93. We are not really checking boxes of
being
inclusive and appropriate. But it is the 90s. I know women are equal now.
Exactly. But yeah, he's like the butt of a lot of jokes. And so they're pretty much right off the bat making fun of him. And we see Nathan and Tori go down to the basement. And we see that the crate is still there. And we get a little peek inside. And the leprechaun is still there looking very weak, but, you know, still alive.
Oh, God.
Nathan, for some reason, dares Tori to open the crate, I guess because it looks nasty and like covered in cobwebs. And he's like, oh, what could be in there? And they're about to open it when they hear Ozzy scream. And we see that they run upstairs and we see that he has spilled blue paint all over himself. And they all laugh. Oh, my God, Ozzy. Ha ha ha. Tori tells him he can go inside and use the bathroom to clean himself up. So he goes in, and then while he's in there, he hears a little child's voice singing, twinkle, twinkle, little star. And he follows the singing, and it's coming from that crate. He presses his ear against the crate. Bunk. Oh, my God. He's really talkative today. And as he does, he swipes the four-leaf clover off the crate.
Should have secured it.
There we go.
Onto the floor. And the leprechaun's fist punches out of the crate. hits Ozzy. He falls backwards. And the leprechaun is walking towards him. And he has a potato bug on his shoulder. Ew. He's known what a potato bug is. They're so gross.
Yes.
And he grabs it and he eats it.
Ew.
And he says, I haven't eaten in 10 years.
Ew.
He is very hungry. And Ozzy's saying, What are you? What is this? And the leprechaun says, I'm a leprechaun, a shoemaker by trade. But more importantly,
he takes pride in his work.
Yes. And then he says, but I also like, where's my gold? It's shoes first, gold second. Again. And Ozzy stands up and is terrified, runs up the stairs of the basement trying to get out. The leprechaun shoots a little green magic stream from his fingers to slam the door closed. And so he's got some magical powers here, but Ozzy just turns it around and looks at him and then opens the door and goes out. It's pretty funny. Yeah. And the leprechaun says, like, oh, my magic is weak, because he's
been in a box for 10 years. Yeah.
And he doesn't have his gold. Now, Ozzy runs outside to where everybody else is and says, there's a leprechaun downstairs in the basement, a leprechaun. And obviously, nobody believes him. They're laughing at him. Mm-hmm. But they can see that he's really worked up about it. So Nathan says, okay, we'll go check it out. So they go downstairs into the basement. We don't see no leprechaun in sight. He's pointing. He's like, he was over there. And then behind where the crate was, there's a little cutie rat crawling around.
Oh. Cute.
And they all say, it was just a rat, Ozzy. Now we've solved the mystery.
Obviously, what you were seeing was, in fact, a little rat.
Yes.
And not a leprechaun, not a human creature.
Mm-hmm. So nobody believes him that this leprechaun is there. So we all go back outside now, and a rainbow is forming in the sky, a magical rainbow. There's not a single cloud in the sky. So it looks improbable that a rainbow would be happening. No, it's a sunny, cloudless day. Mm. And Alex and Ozzy run to the end of the rainbow. I think Ozzy probably says something like, he was looking for his gold, and, you know, there's pots of gold at the ends of rainbows, so let's go check it out. So they run to the end of this rainbow, and sure enough, they find his bag of gold. Alex is...
Well, that was easy.
Very easy. But I think the leprechaun was, you know, trying to...
Trick him.
Find it for himself, but they got there first.
Oh, I see.
And so Alex is very excited, like, oh my God, we got this bag of gold. So we can finally get your brain surgery so that you can be smart, Ozzy.
Oh.
That's real. Don't love that. And they say, how do we know that it's real gold? And Ozzy says, you bite it. And he bites one of the coins and then accidentally swallows it. Okay. So he's got a gold coin in his belly now.
Oh,
no.
Don't love that for him.
Is this going to be like a Pirates of the Caribbean situation where we need every coin?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God damn it.
We see Tori and Nathan back in front of the house. Tori's getting something out of the back of their pickup truck when she feels something stroking her leg. We see below the truck, the leprechaun is there going, ooh, ooh, like turned on by her shins, just like stroking them. And she smiles and she goes, Nathan, stop. And then turns and sees Nathan is behind her in a way that obviously can't be him stroking her legs. She screams and then gets a scratch. As she jumps back, we see three like nail scratches on her leg. And Nathan and Tori's dad run to her because she, you know, screams and see that she's been scratched by something. And they say, oh, it must have been like a raccoon or something. And she says, no, so it was someone's hand was touching me. So it was a hand. And they're like, no, like.
No, I think it was a rat.
It was probably a rat or a raccoon.
Raccoons do have little weird hands.
They do. Yeah. And you wouldn't think it was a leprechaun. You wouldn't.
No.
And so they're trying to figure out, they're looking around, trying to find the culprit when they hear a meowing coming from a hole in a tree, like a little squirrel hole. And the dad says, ah, Tori, it was a cat. Of course it was this cat. And the meowing continues. And
it's very funny to confuse a cat paw for a human hand.
And the dad goes up to this little hole and is trying to get the cat out. Says, like, poor little guy. He's probably scared him in there. Like, we got to get him out of there. Reaches his hand into this hole.
Oh, boy.
And of course, screams, pulls his hand back. He's got a big bite mark on his arm. Looks like a human bite.
Ugh.
And it looks bad. It's deep. He needs to go to the hospital. So they pile into the pickup truck. Nathan, all five of them, Nathan, Tori, Ozzy, Alex, JD, dad. And the car's not starting. So they say, Alex, like, check under the hood. Alex, the little 10-year-old, lifts up the hood of the car and just like lightly wiggles some wires. It's like, try it now. It looks so funny. It's just like, doo doo doo. He does absolutely nothing. But it works. It works.
Oh, great.
Car starts now. And they take JD to the hospital. Alex and Ozzy leave them at the hospital to go to the town pawn shop to see the value of these coins. And the pawn shop owner is very interested in these coins, says, yeah, these look legit. He reaches into a bookshelf behind him, pulls out a book called Ancient Coins of Ireland. This is South Dakota, a pawn shop in the middle of nowhere in South Dakota. But he's got this book on hand and he says, do you mind if I keep one of the coins to like fully inspect it and figure it out and you can come back tomorrow and I'll give you the full evaluation or whatever? So they say, okay, they leave.
Man, we are just separating these coins from each other left and right.
Yep. And so Alex and Ozzy leave them there. They go back and join with Tori and Nathan. They're all at a diner getting some dinner. But we stay with the pawn shop owner as he's in the store. It's nighttime now. It's closed up, I think. He's the only one in there. And he is about to put the coin in his safe when he opens the safe and out jumps the leprechaun.
Wow.
And he attacks him, bites his leg or something, and knocks him over and is taunting him. He's really silly. He has a lot of fun doing this kind of stuff. Mm. He goes and grabs a pogo stick and says, we're going to play. And he pogo sticks him to death, like jumps on his chest over.
Oh my God.
And wow. Over.
Did you guys have a pogo stick?
Yeah, no. But I had one with a like a ball on the bottom. It was like a handball type of thing. So it wasn't. I couldn't do this with mine.
Okay.
I never had a pogo stick. I feel like I was not good at anything involving balance in that way.
You? I would like to try a pogo stick again.
I'm curious about it. I feel like I did one recently and I don't know why. I can't think of the context. Like, you know,
it feels like it's probably like not fun,
But it must be, right? Otherwise, why would it exist? But the idea right now of like standing on a stick that like bounces, I can't fathom why that would be enjoyable.
There are so many physical activities that are fun for children that are not fun for adults.
Yeah.
Like even like just going on the swings. I don't like going on the swings anymore.
It gives me a headache.
Yeah. It's so sad.
Like my brain, it like is the thing where like my brain it's is like rattling too much in my skull. Head. Yeah. I like can't catch up. There's like too much space between my brain and my skull now.
But you know what I did do recently? A skip it. Do you guys remember like skip
it? I like a skip it.
That was fun. I had a good time with a skip it.
Oh, I bet that it was fun. Yeah. Wow. So many children's toys are just like ways of getting out energy.
Oh, for sure.
It's like basically like just exercise.
Makes sense. Yes. I mean, I loved a hula hoop and I think I still would like a hula hoop.
I'm very bad at a hula hoop. Always have been.
I'm really good at it. Really
I bet you
good.
Are. That honestly like really checks out. Were you ever good at jump rope or double dutch?
Uh-huh.
Fucking love double dutch. If I could do some double dutch right now, I would be so happy.
I don't think I ever did double dutch. I definitely
jump rope. Dressed in yellow, went downstairs to meet her fella.
I never was in a situation where there were two ropes going. That was way above my pay grade. Only one rope ever for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could do a two rope. I could do a two rope situation.
Wow. I don't know if I still could, but
I don't think
I
still could either, but.
That's impressive. It's
also,
hard.
Once again, it's like, do I want to just like have to jump up and down a bunch? That's crazy.
No, you get shin splints immediately. Like it's your body.
Oh,
it hurts.
Shin splints.
Owie, owie, owie.
I remember those. Oof.
So, okay, yeah, pogo stick. Sorry, that just really took me to a moment in time.
It's
sorry, that this reminded me. I meant to talk about the commercials that played on Peacock before this movie.
Oh, yes.
Oh, important. That's important.
Because one of them was a Skims commercial, and yep. I've never seen a Skims commercial, and it... like 100 Kim Kardashians as if she's a scientist in a lab testing the all the bras and underwears, and one of the tests is she's on this like very bouncy machine, and it's very funny because she's making sure her boobs stay secure
just going,
in the bras.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
I mean, smart.
Yeah, it's a funny commercial, and then it played a CVS commercial, and then it played a Trader's commercial, and I was like, this is all my favorite stuff.
Yeah, weird. That's too
scary.
Much.
I don't like that.
It is scary.
Then it played the commercial with Jennifer Aniston and previous podcast guest Lisa Gilroy, and that felt fitting as well.
Yeah, it's all tailored to you.
Mm-hmm.
Hope Lisa got paid for that. I don't know how it works on streaming. I don't think they get paid per play on streaming.
Probably not.
But everybody watch some cable.
So he kills this shop owner with the pogo stick. And afterwards, he notices that his shoes have some blood splatter on them.
Oh,
and
no.
So he polishes his shoes for him.
Okay.
Great.
And he gets that one coin back. And so he's got that coin and he says, one down, 99 to go. So we know there's supposed to be 100 gold coins. And in this pawn shop, there is a child's size toy car that he steals and drives around town. And he's driving it down the street when he gets pulled over by a cop. The cop thinks he's a child in a mask and is like, all right, kid, you're too young to be driving.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Take off that mask. And he leans down to the leprechaun and the leprechaun puts his whole hand over the cop's face and like digs his nails.
Ew.
It's almost as if he's about to rip his face off.
Ew.
He doesn't, but he's got nasty long fingernail, like talon-y fingernails.
Ew.
That stab into the cop's face. The cop is screaming. The cop now runs into the woods, even though he was in a car. So I don't know why he did that. But Leprechaun's chasing him through the woods now and is giggling and having a grand old time, popping out from behind other trees, being like, hey, hello, hello, and just messing with him. And the cop eventually he's hiding behind a tree and the leprechaun like appears through a branch above him and jumps down onto his shoulders, snaps his neck, kills him.
Wow.
We see our four main characters back at the diner. Tori is being a brat about the diner food, which I thought looked really good.
Yum.
And she says, all I want is a watercress salad and a bottle of Evian. They're really making her this kind of character.
Right.
Because it's the 90s and women are equal.
A bottle of Evian, too. Evian water as like a status symbol is it's fascinating so funny. To think about.
Yeah.
Remember, what was the movie where her name is Evian? The Molly Shannon movie?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, God. It's the one where Molly Shannon's famous for.
Oh,
where
she, Superstar? Like, does the,
yeah, Superstar. And that her like nemesis is named Evian.
That's really funny.
That's very funny.
I got to rewatch that movie. So Tori is upset, obviously, because her dad is in the hospital. And Nathan says, look on the bright side, Tori. At least the worst is over. Always love to hear a line like that.
Mm-hmm.
The leprechaun now is back at their house, Tori's house, ransacking it, looking for that gold. And, you know, he's tossing things out of cabinets. He's just absolutely tearing the place apart. And then he finds their shoes in a closet and he starts polishing those shoes and lining them all up on the table, making all the shoes look pretty. Then they get home and he's nowhere to be seen, but they see like something was in here. What the hell happened? They assume it's, again, raccoons, something like that.
Of course.
And Ozzy says, it's the leprechaun. He talked about the shoes. He said he's a shoemaker and he cares about the shoes. So it was obviously the leprechaun.
Ozzy making a lot of sense here.
Mm-hmm. They're saying, no, of course, it's not a leprechaun.
That's
Ozzy.
Insane. Obviously, a raccoon came in here, shined our shoes, and threw everything out of our drawers.
Yes.
A raccoon with human hands and a human jaw.
Yeah. So they're all sitting in the house trying to clean it up a bit, and they hear a noise outside. Nathan goes out to investigate. It's, you know, nighttime. He's got a flashlight. He's trudging through the yard when he steps in a bear trap.
Aye.
Gets him on the leg, and the leprechaun pops out laughing like, gotcha. And the leprechaun has, I think, an axe. And he's like, to amputate. And he's trying to cut off Nathan's leg. The rest of them obviously hear this commotion and Nathan had screamed. And so they all run out now. And we all see the leprechaun now. So
everyone see the leprechaun say, yay.
You all see the leprechaun say, hey. Rough sketch of the leprechaun. Oh, man, that video is good. So it's chaotic and we're trying to fight off this leprechaun. They have a gun that they're trying to get. But it doesn't have bullets in it, so we're trying to load the gun, and everyone's freaking out. And they say, Ozzy, go call the police, call the police. Ozzy runs inside, calls the police, says, we're under attack by a leprechaun. Send everything you got. Send the Navy, the Army, the Navy. It's a leprechaun. Leprechaun's attacking us.
Yep, they're not going to believe that.
Obviously, the cops are there laughing. They say, oh, it's just Ozzy again.
Oh, God.
Doing... At least they say, what was it last week? Aliens or something? Which, honestly,
poor
yeah,
Ozzy.
Now we're suspecting maybe those aliens were real.
We're there, yeah.
They get the shotgun loaded and they shoot the leprechaun and he falls behind a bush and they just unload all the bullets into this bush where they think he is. And they run to the car, back to the pickup truck, and all pile inside just to get away from here. And once again, the car is not starting. They say, Alex, go do your magic under the hood. Go gently nudge a couple wires.
While this threat is out here, let's have the child get out.
And Alex does look scared. He's tiptoeing, and he opens the hood, and wouldn't you know it, a leprechaun is in there. A little
oh no
foreshadowing of leprechaun in the hood, perhaps.
Oh.
That's what the movie's about, a leprechaun inside the
in the literal hood.
Only that, yeah. Over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Gotcha again.
They did. They were enough for two movies of a leprechaun inside the hood of a car.
The leprechaun is attacking them now. It breaks the windshield of the car. It bites Ozzy's ear.
Oof.
And they're all screaming. Tori uses the cigarette lighter in the car, gets that hot, and presses it into his nose.
Nice.
So he falls backwards, gives him a second to, I don't know. They don't get away because the car is not, mm-hmm. it's still not working. He didn't get a chance to nudge those little wires Damn. Back and forth. So they're, you know, trying unsuccessfully, turning the key in the engine. It's not happening. Leprechaun goes and gets his little toy car and T-bones them. And their car flips so many times from this tiny little toy car hitting it. The physics of it are impossible, but it's very funny. So the car rolls and they somehow immediately get out of it, because as the leprechaun runs to check, he opens the door. They're all gone.
Mm.
They've made it back inside, and he's right on their tail, and as they're about to slam the door closed, he reaches his hand in, and they slam it, and it slices Leprechaun's hand right off. But the hand stays...
Alive.
Man, mobile. You really don't want a door to be that sharp.
That's a sharp
door. This worked now, but can you imagine?
Maybe his hands are really soft.
He has been in a box for 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really softens the joints.
Mm-hmm. So the hand is inside the house and his body is outside of the house, but the hand crawls up the door and opens it for him.
Mm.
So now he gets inside. Tori's found her huge mobile phone, calls 911, says something not about the leprechaun, says we're being attacked. We need help. Send help. But then her phone dies. But we did see that it went through, okay. And that the sheriff got the call. So now she says it's okay. They're coming. Oh, I guess the leprechaun is still outside, but his hand's inside. And also, I don't think we see any moment of the hand rejoining the body, but he does have his hand again in later scenes. So
okay.
Something.
The hand returns.
I guess he has, yeah, magical healing abilities.
Okay.
We see the sheriff putting out the call to the deputy and saying, I need you to go to this address, the closest one in the area, and I need you to go to this address. And the deputy says, yep, I'm on it. And then we see in the cop car, it is the leprechaun using his voice tricks. And it is the cop's car that he killed the cop.
Oh, no.
Back in the house, the gang... It's freaking out. What does this leprechaun want? And Ozzy lets it slip that they did steal a bag of gold from it. And Alex had been saying, you know, to keep this between them because they want to keep the gold for themselves. So Alex is annoyed, says, Ozzy, come on, we weren't supposed to tell them that.
Well, Alex, circumstances have changed.
Yes, things mm-hmm. have changed. And it
and
is
you are a child,
to-
so I guess, you know, forgive you for not understanding the gravity yeah. of the situation.
Yeah, so Ozzy comes clean, says we do have his gold, and we hid it in the well outside. So Nathan, meanwhile, he's losing a lot of blood. We were trying to get him to the hospital for this bear trap on his leg. They've gotten the bear trap off, but he's bleeding a lot. And so he's not in the best condition, so Tori is going to go out to the well to get this.
She's a woman
gold.
And she's not scared of anything.
That's right. This is the 90s, and she goes out to the well and cranks it up, brings up that bucket, and grabs the bag of gold from it as the leprechaun appears. and is, you know, about to attack her. But then she waves the bag and she says, I've got your gold. I've got it. And like throws it at him. He's giddy. He's so happy. He's like, dude, this is me gold. Looks like me gold. Smells like me gold. Tastes like me gold. And he's like, thank you so much, my lady. And runs off with his bag of gold. And we see them, her going back in the house being like, it's all over. He got his gold. It's fine. He's perched up nearby. The leprechaun's perched up nearby. Go and dumps the bag of gold out and is like, 1, 2, 3, 4, counting. So we know in just a moment he's going to find out there's one missing. Inside they... Oh, but as and also as he has the gold back, his powers are returning because that has been part of why he's been weak, is because he's been separated from his gold. And inside, everybody's still, you know, pretty on edge. And they have various weapons. We've got the shotgun. Someone's got a baseball bat. And one of them has the wrong fireplace tool. It's like the little shovel that you use to clean.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. There's a better tool there.
Get the poker.
And that really made me laugh. Felt like it was just for me.
Although the shovel could work, too. It's pretty sharp. Sharp edges on that shovel.
Yeah, it's better than still nothing. Metal. It's better than the little broom.
The broom. Better than the broom.
Well, just you wait, because as it like goes back out and we see the leprechaun counting to 99 and realizing one is missing, we come back inside and
oh no.
He has switched to the little broom weapon. And we see the full fireplace set behind him. To be fair, it does look pretty shitty. It's like a flimsy little Walmart set. They're all pretty small. And so.
And not ideal.
None of them are great, but it's just very funny that he's switched to the broom. Alex goes to open the fridge for some reason. I can't remember why. And out pops the leprechaun. I'm missing a piece of gold. Give me gold. And they get into a fight and the leprechaun is pushed onto the against the stove and uses his hand to catch his balance, but puts it right on a hot stove plate and then uses a little spatula to pry his hand off.
Ew.
Oh, gross.
He's chasing them all through the house, fucking with them. There's a part where he's on a skateboard and they're trying to shoot at him, but he's like skating down the halls going, hee hee hee, diddly dee, diddly doo, a leprechaun is me, and like singing little ditties. And the house phone rings. Tori answers it thinking it's maybe the police or something. She's saying hello. And on the other end of the line is leprechaun saying, give me gold, my gold coin. And she rips the phone off the wall, throws it down onto the ground, and it rings again. And she answers it. And leprechaun says, maybe you need a hand. And a little hand comes out of the phone. So maybe this is his little hand regenerating.
Wow.
As all this madness is happening, Ozzy realizes the final coin is in me. I ate it, swallowed it, and he's about to sacrifice himself for the group and say, you know, what you're looking for is me. I have the last coin in my belly. And Tori says, no. No, Ozzy, you can't do this. And then Ozzy has a little light bulb moment and he says, old man O'Grady might know how to defeat a leprechaun. He was the previous owner of this house. He's now in a old age home, but we could go and ask him if he knows anything. So they all run out to the dad's Jeep, the red Jeep. They've had a second vehicle this whole time and they just kept trying to use that pickup truck.
Oh, boy.
That wouldn't start. So they get in the Jeep and as they're running out, I mean, they're being chased by the leprechaun. He's right behind them. So they have grabbed the box of freshly polished shoes and they are just throwing them in the dirt and that's dust funny. All around. And the leprechaun is so stressed and is like, and like runs and he's polishing and he's trying to get, it's really funny.
That's a very, great. Very smart
perfect, perfect weakness. Perfect weakness.
And so they're able to get away because he can't leave the shoes dirty.
Yep, yep, yep.
And he finds some roller skates and so he skates after them, but they're going to get there first. They're going to beat him, obviously. Mm-hmm. So we see Tori goes in to this retirement home. There's someone at the front desk sleeping. So she's having to tiptoe because this is in the middle of the night. She knows they're not going to just let her in there. And there is one clipboard on the desk that just says room numbers really big.
Great.
And she quietly grabs that. Flips the page and is able to find Daniel O'Grady's room number and then goes in like through the hallway, down the hallway towards the room. And this is now being filmed with these very canted angles, like the directing style here gets a little artsy.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
And she finds his room and opens the door and he's sitting facing away from her and she's saying, "Are you Daniel O'Grady?" And he says, "Yes." And she says, "We need your help. There's a leprechaun. We think you might know how to defeat it." And he says, "You just give him back his gold coin." And it turns around and it's leprechaun in a wig. And he's sitting in Dan's wheelchair. And so she runs out. And he's chasing her down the hall in the wheelchair. And she goes into the elevator. And the elevator's doors close before he gets there. So she's safe momentarily. And then through the top of the elevator crashes Dan's body, like he was being stashed there. Very convenient because he is still alive and in his dying breaths. She says, "We got to get you to a hospital." He says, "No, no, it's too late for that. But I got to tell you how to defeat this leprechaun." She's crying. Her tears in this are so thick. They like look like gelatin. It's very funny. And Dan is able to tell her in his dying breath that what you need is a four-leaf clover. That will defeat the leprechaun.
Oh, easy.
So there's a clover field on their property. So they rush back to the house. She's looking through the clover field, but there's so many, or it's going to be so hard to find a four leaf clover.
Wait, have you guys found four leaf clovers?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
So I went through a period of time in my life.
But to be fair, I've never really looked.
Yeah, I mean, give me a field of clover and we'll see.
I went through a period of time in my life where I found them all the time.
What the heck?
One time I was telling someone, I was in like high school when this happened, and I was telling someone, I was saying, "You know, I find four leaf clovers all the time." And I looked down and I found one. And I literally looked down and picked one up and showed them. And I was like, "Here is a four leaf clover."
Wow.
Like, and then it ended. And I haven't found, and I actually, Silas and I did find a four leaf clover when we first moved into this house. We found one outside, but
wow,
I didn't find one for a really long time.
Apparently, isn't the odds of a four leaf clover, finding a four leaf clover, are 1 in 10,000. So pretty cool.
Wow.
Well, we know who we need by our side if we're ever fighting a leprechaun.
Yeah.
Right. I will find you a goddamn four leaf clover in a heartbeat.
That's good to know. So she is searching through this little clover field, not finding anything, and she gets separated from the rest of the group, and the leprechaun is still hot in pursuit, and she runs down the street and sees the cop car and thinks, "Oh, good, like, well, help is here." Runs to the car. Sees the cop's dead body in the passenger seat.
Oh, no.
And the leprechaun pops up. She grabs the police baton from from the cop and stabs it into the leprechaun's eye. And the leprechaun reaches over to the cop, plucks out one of his eyes, and pops it in his head.
That's how that works, right? That's definitely how that works.
He could regrow a hand, but he has to take somebody else's eyeball.
It's like a Mr. Potato Head situation. Mm-hmm. Just take a body part and slot it in.
Yep. And she's screaming, and so the rest of the friends hear her and arrive, and Nathan shoots Leprechaun right in the chest. Seems like a pretty good shot. But we know that gunshots haven't seemed to work in the past, so we're just rushing to this back to this clover field. We're going to look for this four-leaf clover. It's our only hope to fully defeat him. And they look for a second, and then Tori says, like, it's no use. We're never going to find one, which is very funny to me because it's literally the only option that you have. And why would you give up after, like, 2 minutes of searching?
Yeah.
Ozzy says some encouraging words to her, like, we're going to find one. It's going to be okay. And sure enough, the second he does, she finds one. It glows a little green glimmer to let us know that it's magical. And Alex at this time is in the barn trying to find another weapon or something. And the leprechaun attacks him in there. And they hear that happening, and they all run into the barn, and the leprechaun runs out of the barn. And I can't remember, like, where everybody is in all this commotion, but the leprechaun's running out of the barn and runs past Nathan and says, how's your leg? And kicks him in the leg where the bear trap was. And Nathan falls over in extreme pain. The leprechaun then attacks Ozzy because he wants that coin in his stomach. So we're presuming he's just going to rip open his stomach. And so he's on top of Ozzy. Ozzy's screaming when Alex takes the four-leaf clover from Tori, takes the gum out of his mouth, wraps the four-leaf clover around the gum, and then grabs a slingshot out of his pocket.
There we go.
And pulls it back and calls out to the leprechaun. Leprechaun turns, and Alex says, fuck you, Lucky Charms, and slingshots that four-leaf clover right into his mouth.
Great. There we go.
Immediately, the leprechaun is choking and shaking, and something magical and bad is happening. There's, like, his skin starts melting, ew. And it's kind of like Chucky and what was Gremlins. That other one? Gremlins, yeah, where he gets, like, so nasty, and they kick him into the well. He's still yelling, I want me gold, just give me gold. And Nathan comes out now and grabs a can of gasoline and pours it into the well and lights a match, and this well explodes so big. And then the cops arrive. We're getting a wide shot of, looks like the sun is rising and everyone's gonna be okay. And then we just get one more close up on the top of the well, and we hear the leprechaun's voice saying, I'll not rest till I find me gold. And something about how even if his soul is trapped in here, it doesn't matter because he just simply can't rest until he finds his gold. And that's the end of the movie.
Wow. Wow. Why did Jennifer Aniston not want to watch this film? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know why this isn't her proudest
cinematic achievement.
It was fun. I had a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very silly. And I know I have seen one of the other ones, but I can't remember which one. But they seem like they'd be a fun watch.
They were so confident they were going to have another one.
And they were right.
Pure confidence in the end. That he knew. That is great. It was great. I love any opportunity to get to hear you do an Irish accent.
I know. It's really special.
To do the little singing that you got to do. One of my favorites. Very fun.
One of my favorites.
Oh, I love the Irish.
I know.
You guys, have you seen how Io Edebrie is like claimed Irish?
It's very funny.
It's really funny. She thanks Ireland in all of her speeches. Like, thank you to Ireland.
She's really very funny.
I love it.
Wow.
And I also love Ireland. So thank you, Ireland.
Thank you, Ireland, for this. For this film.
For this American film.
Yep.
But we couldn't have done it without you, Ireland.
That's the truth.
Mm, very true.
Thank you for this and for Colin Farrell and
Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy.
Andrew Scott.
And that's it.
Andrew Scott.
No other Irish actors.
Saoirse Ronan. who else is Irish? There's some more.
So. Jamie Dornan.
Barry Keoghan, right? Is he actually Irish?
Yeah. Yep.
So, good job, Ireland.
I really do love Ireland. I want to go there so bad.
Yeah, we gotta go.
It's the best accent.
God, it's a good one.
Hands down for me. And
yeah, it's a really good one.
Warwick Davis's Irish accent is pretty funny. He is not Irish. He is British.
Yep.
His accent is more leprechaun than Irish, you know?
Yeah, they have their own sort of vibe.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I had a good time watching this. I really love the part where they use the shoes as a distraction. It's really funny.
It's really clever.
And I hope everybody out there has a wonderful St. Patrick's Day.
I hope so.
Me too.
Yeah, that's all we got for today.
That's all we got.
We will be back next week, as usual.
You better believe it.
We love you guys very much. And from all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch.
Oi. See, pirate again. I almost went, oi, lassie. Which is what pirates say. The flowers in the garden, the flowers in the garden. From
Ireland. From all of us.
Goodbye.
From all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch.
From all of us here.
Goodbye.
Too Scary Didn't Watch. Goodbye. We did it. We made it. Thank you all for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch.
If you enjoy the show, please remember to subscribe and rate us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. 5 stars only, or we will haunt you.
And if you simply can't get enough of us, we have good news for you. We have lots of bonus content available on our Patreon at patreon.com/TSDW podcast.
You'll get access to video trailer reactions, 2 bonus episodes a month, the power to vote for upcoming episodes, and more.
And last but not least, you can follow us on social media at TSDW podcast.
We'll be back next week with a new episode.
We love you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.